Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, June 25th. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's reading with Council to Approve Hiring of Gleason. Bloomington. Decatur City Manager Tim Gleason is expected to become Bloomington's next top administrator officially today when the City Council votes on a contract for him. The Council will meet at 7 p.m. at City Hall. It is also expected to approve a compromise with Bloomington District 87 on using tax increment financing as an economic development tool. Gleason is on track to assume city manager duties July 23rd at an annual base salary of $185,000, a $9,000 bump from his Decatur position. Gleason was picked from 30 applicants from 15 states and two other finalists, interim Bloomington City Manager Steve Rasmussen and Washington City Administrator Jim Culotta. Rasmussen will remain on staff as assistant city manager. In February, the Council approved paying executive search firm GovHR USA $20,000 to conduct that national search. In another matter, attorneys for the city and the school district have reached a compromise on adding language to a proposed TIF use policy. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley told the council last week the school district did not support the proposed policy. The school district wanted the city to guarantee to taxing bodies there will be no more 23-year TIF districts. District 87 is worried about the erosion of its tax base for that length of time. The city wanted the option to review each TIF district proposal, redevelopment project, and redevelopment agreement on a case-by-case basis, said City Attorney Jeff Juergens. Quote, the language we ended up using is the City Council will pledge to work to structure redevelopment plans and or project areas to provide taxing districts benefit along with the private developers, said Juergens. One of those ways, end quote, is to limit the duration of redevelopment plans, he said. We could also limit various taxing districts' contributions to redevelopment plans or otherwise try to provide some sort of compensation back to the taxing districts, Juergens had added. In a TIF district, additional property tax revenue generated by improvements go into a fund for development incentives and infrastructure improvements. Taxing bodies receive only taxes they would have had from the property if no improvements were made. Rasmussen said he was hopeful that they could get close enough where everyone could agree. In other action, the council will consider passing three ordinances to create the new East Washington Street TIF district, which would include the former Bloomington High School just east of downtown. Under state law, action must be taken by the council within 90 days of the public hearing, which the city held on April 9th. Even if the action taken tonight is only to table that vote until later, the city will not have to start the lengthy TIF creation process over from scratch, said Rasmussen. Iceberg Development Group, LLC of LeClaire, Iowa, plans to convert the second and third floors of the former high school at 510 East Washington Street into 58 apartments for people 55 and older, also to lease spaces to commercial and nonprofit users on the first floor. That developer has already secured low-income housing tax credits from the Illinois Housing Development Authority. The site has been placed on the National Register of Historic Places, which clears the way for obtaining federal historical tax credits. End of article. Foundation seeks philanthropic nods. Bloomington. Illinois Prairie Community Foundation, which facilitates philanthropy in McLean, DeWitt, Livingston, and Logan counties by connecting donors with causes which matter to them, is seeking nominations for its 2018 Philanthropist of the Year. An individual, couple, or family will be honored at the Foundation's Celebrating Local Philanthropy Luncheon at noon on November 15th. Which is a Thursday, at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, 8 Trader Circle in Normal. Nominees must live in McLean, DeWitt, Livingston, or Logan counties. The criteria are outstanding civic responsibility as demonstrated by contributions of financial resources and voluntary commitment of time, willingness to serve in leadership roles, and providing vision and the ability to involve others in philanthropic activity, according to a statement from the foundation. Nominations should describe in 250 words or less why the nominee deserves recognition. Current foundation board members and staff are not eligible. Previous recipients include George and Myra Gordon, Daryl and Donna Hartwig, John and Marilyn Friess, John and Jan Wowend, Bob and Julie Dobsky, Roger and Mary Hunt, Deanna Frouchy, and Alan Bedell and Jerry and Carol Ringer. The deadline for those nominations is July 31st, next Sunday. Deadline for nominations, that's June 31st. July 31st is on a Tuesday. Entries can be submitted to the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation, 2401 East Washington Street, Suite 600B, Bloomington, or you can email it to lshepherd@ilprairiecf.org. lshepherd@ilprairiecf.org. Nomination forms are available for download from the Foundation's website. Go to ilprairiecf.org/celebrating-local-philanthropy. That foundation, in its 20th year, manages assets of more than $16.2 million in 160 funds, said Michelle Evans, Foundation Grants and Communications Director. In May, that foundation awarded its largest dollar amount of grants to nonprofit organizations, $157,347 to 73 programs in those four counties. End of article. NRC investigates refueling incident. Clinton. Inspectors with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission are investigating an incident which left the Clinton nuclear plant without an emergency diesel generator in service during a refueling outage last month. The NRC official said last week that a 3-member team will review that sequence of events, the plant's analysis, determine probable causes, evaluate shutdown procedures, and assess corrective actions taken. The team will spend time both on and off-site. After the inspection, a report documenting the team's findings will be issued and made public. According to NRC regulations, at least one emergency diesel generator must be operable during a refueling outage. Emergency diesel generators are safety-related systems designed to provide power to the site if there is a loss of off-site power. The NRC officials reported during the May outage, plant workers removed each emergency diesel generator from service, one at a time, to perform maintenance. However, as they were working on the second unit, a plant worker discovered the first generator was not completely restored to operating status. Once that issue was identified, workers took immediate action to restore a diesel generator to operable service as required by regulations, said the agency. Plant spokesman Gabe Goldsmith told officials they are continuing to investigate the situation. Quote, Exelon Generation is committed to operating our nuclear fleet at world-class levels of safety, reliability, and performance excellence, he said. During Clinton's 2018 spring refueling outage, operators discovered two of the three of the station's emergency diesel generators were inoperable for a brief period of time while workers were performing maintenance. Site leaders took immediate action to restore those generators to service, notified the NRC, and put into place rigorous corrective actions to address issues going forward. The NRC began a special inspection of the issue June 20th. the plant, end quote. The plant has been receiving increased NRC oversight since last year due to a finding of low to moderate safety significance involving an issue with an emergency diesel generator room ventilation fan. End of article. Wishbone receives grant. Normal. Wishbone Canine Rescue has received a donation of $7,671 from Subaru of America, Inc. and Grossinger Motors in Normal as part of Subaru's 2017 Share the Love campaign. The gift is part of $21.8 million donated to national and local charities. Quote, this money will help us save more dogs and give them a second chance at a happy life. Homeless dogs want nothing more than to love and be loved. Subaru and Grossinger Motors are helping to make that happen. End quote, said Wishbone board member Linda Kruger. Wishbone will use that money to defray expenses associated with caring for its homeless dogs, including spaying, neutering, vaccinations, and other medical care dogs receives before being adopted. Subaru's annual campaign donates $250 for every new Subaru vehicle sold or leased to the customer's choice of charities, including national partners the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels America, and the National Park Foundation. In addition, each Subaru retailer selects a hometown charity from their local community to support. Wishbone Canine Rescue was chosen as the local charity of Grossinger Motors in Normal. Founded in 2009, Wishbone Canine Rescue is a foster home based in Bloomington. For more information, go to wishbonecaninerescue.org. WishboneCanineRescue.org. End of article. Thacker earns Life Membership Award. Carl Thacker of Carl's Pro Band in Bloomington received the prestigious Life Membership Award from NAPBIRT, International Band Instrument Repair Association. That award recognizes many contributions Carl has made to the field of instrument repair and to the NAPBIRT organization in his 40-plus years of repair work. He was presented his award at the annual NAPBIRT conference in April. Carl's Pro Band is extremely proud and honored to have a technician of Carl's caliber working with us every day. Congratulations on this monumental achievement. End of article. Area calendar. Registration Garden Wind Chimes, which will be from 10 until noon July 12th or 6 until 8 on July 17th. Normal Public Library. Adults. Registration is required. You can contact normalpl.org. Registration for Hanging Tin Can Herb Garden, 1 to 3 p.m. on July 19th. That's a Thursday. Normal Public Libraries, it is for adults. Registration is required. Learn to Dance West Coast Swing, 7 p.m. tonight, Bloomington Public Library Community Room. There is a presenter, Next Step Dance Studio. End of article. Golden Apple. Five Pantograph area students are among 229 college students selected for the 2018 class of the Golden Apple Scholars of Illinois. They have chosen to pursue a career teaching students in Illinois schools of need. Scholars participate in summer institute experiences, working directly with students, reflecting on their teaching practice, and interacting with Golden Apple teachers. Those students are Nina Crowley of Cullum Augustana College, Emma Harris of Streeter McMurray College, Bailey Salyards of Gibson City, Illinois State University, and Tiara Schickel of Bloomington, Illinois State University. Phi Beta Kappa, Bloomington. Alexandra Byerly of Bloomington was elected to the Knox College Galesburg chapter of Phi Beta Kappa. The university high school graduate majored in English literature. Logan Foltz of Bloomington has received a Bachelor of Science in Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta, Georgia. Compeer Financial. The Compeer Financial Fund for Rural America, the corporate giving program of Compeer Financial, has awarded several Pantograph area graduating seniors $1,500 educational scholarships. They are among 105 recipients across a three-state territory of Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. They include Sam Clement of Normal, Catherine Dowling of Saybrook, Chad Lawyer of Carlock, Milan Lehman of Fairbury, and Mitch Wettstein of Carlock. Graduate. Bergen Yom of Bloomington received a Bachelor of Arts magna cum laude in history from Alma College in Alma, Michigan. Sorry, it cut part of that off. Tulane. Bloomington. Two Bloomington residents were among recent graduates of Tulane University, New Orleans, Louisiana. Catherine Ernest earned a Bachelor of Science in Public Health, and Claire Baxter earned a Bachelor of Arts. Graduates, Western Illinois. Pantograph area residents were among those spring graduates of Western Illinois University. They are Bloomington, Hannah Mull, B.A., Communication. Dustin Sutton, BB, which is a Bachelor of Business, Supply Chain Management. Warden Waller, BA, General Studies. Jasmine Booth, Bachelor of Social Work. Lindsay Gleason, Bachelor of Arts Sociology. They were from Normal. Hayworth, Logan Johnson, BS in Agricultural Business. Lexington, Zachary Miller, BA, General Studies. Minunk, Trevor Muntz, B.S., Law Enforcement and Justice Administration. End of article. Bigger Guns, Greater Trauma, Bloomington. When emergency room Dr. Shayla Garrett-Hauser visits schools to talk about her job, children always ask her to tell them about the grossest thing she ever has seen. That is easy. It was 2 decades ago, staring down at a woman with a bullet hole in her forehead. She was agitated, her brain swelling. Suddenly, a piece of her skull popped out and hit the floor. Remarkably, that patient survived being shot from a distance by a small .22 caliber handgun. Quote, "Now I think about how long it has been since I've seen that kind of thing. And the answer is 25 years, because we don't see those guns anymore," said Garrett-Hauser. End quote. Dr. Hauser worked for years at a Level 1 trauma center on Chicago's South Side before recently moving to Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal. She has treated hundreds of gunshot victims. Many were survivable wounds until recently. The rise of more powerful weaponry in the U.S. has simply made it harder to survive being shot. A bullet leaves an AR-15 at 3 times the speed of a 9mm handgun. Bullet. Quote, "You are talking just huge increases in the amount of energy a body is going to take," she said. "You can imagine what would happen to small school children if someone comes in with that type of weapon. There are not open caskets because these are people who are cut in half." Authorities say an AR assault rifle 15 was used to kill Jody Gardner, 20, and Reggie Hart, Jr., 19, in April on April 25th. Gardner was shot 13 times, including 9 rounds to the back of his head and his back. Hart suffered 8 gunshot wounds to his head, neck, back, and legs. Bloomington police have seen a similar shift to more powerful guns. Quote, "It is the physics behind the weapon," said Bloomington Police Department crime analyst Jack McQueen. "A handgun of whatever caliber may or may not penetrate a car door, but a rifle of any quality or caliber, it's a whole other animal for the level of danger. Because if you miss your target, it's going to keep on going. If you hit your target, it's going to keep going." End quote. Garrett-Hauser is not the only doctor concerned about gun violence. Earlier this month, The American Medical Association adopted sweeping measures aimed at reducing gun violence, a problem it considers a public health issue. At its annual policy making meeting in Chicago, the American Medical Association voted to press for a ban on assault weapons and came out against arming teachers. That meeting comes against the backdrop of current school shootings, everyday street violence, and rising suicide rates in the U.S. Doctors say they are frustrated with lawmakers' inaction on gun violence. Dr. Hauser said, As health providers, we become numb to it, so it just becomes the new norm. We have a violence problem. People think it is normal. I think that's a really sad commentary as to where the society has gone as far as tolerating violence. In an interview before a recent shift at the Broman ER, Dr. Garrett Hauser did not just single out guns as a cause of gun violence. She described what she saw as a constellation of factors, from poor parenting to violence in video games. But guns are what bring mortally wounded human beings into her life over and over again. Inner cities are racked by street shootings, and suburban schools are targets too. She said that the entire country has a violence problem. End of article. Gun violence. Join GLT for a community conversation about gun violence in Bloomington Normal. Seven people have been shot and killed in Bloomington Normal in the past 2 months. GLT's newsroom will moderate a panel discussion with local community leaders, including William Bennett, City of Refuge Ministries pastor and member of the Bloomington Public Safety and Community Relations Board; Karen Irvin, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, local chapter; Alan Chambers, community leader, and others. The public is invited to attend and ask questions, share their stories, and offer possible solutions. GLT Community Conversations is an ongoing series of public discussions about important local issues, guided by GLT's newsroom. When? 6 to 7 p.m. this Wednesday. Where? The Prairie Room of ISU Bones Student Center in Normal at ISU. For more information, you can contact news@wglt.org. news@wglt.org. Gun thefts. Here are just five examples of how weapons have been stolen in McLean County. Two handguns and ammunition. A man told police he was missing two weapons from an unlocked gun safe during an April 2018 burglary in his Bloomington home. Four handguns in a car. A Chevy Impala with four handguns inside was stolen October 2017. Chicago police later recovered that car, but the weapons kept in a locked vehicle were never found. Six handguns. A table and nightstand were used to store six handguns reported stolen August of 2017. That home had been burglarized. Assault rifle 15 and a pistol. A semi-automatic rifle and a 9mm handgun were stolen from a Normal home in October of 2017. That assault rifle 15 was stored in a closet. The handgun was in a dresser. An assault rifle 15 and 37mm launcher. A rural McLean County man reported an AR-15 and a launcher were stolen from an unlocked case in his unlocked residence. Those weapons remain missing. End of article. Museum gets digital imaging grant. The McLean County Museum of History has received a $94,615 Illinois History digital imaging grant from the Illinois State Library for the Pantograph Negatives Project. 15 academic, public, and special libraries received grants totaling $555,305 to carry out projects involving selection, digital capture, and storage of important historical and cultural collections. Those collections will be accessible through the Illinois Digital Archives database maintained by the State Library. Flick Fact. When the Dow Jones drops this week from its industrial averages, an American manufacturing institution, a continuous member of the Dow since 1907, but shaken in recent years by a financial crisis and shrinking sales, it will also affect East Bloomington too. Do you know why? Answer. General Electric Road will slowly begin sinking into a trivia question of what's a General Electric? GE, the company ending its more than 100-year run in the 30-company Blue Chip Index, had a manufacturing plant along GE Road in Bloomington until it closed at the end of 2010. In the late 50s and 60s, it was visited often by a then GE spokesman, Ronald Reagan. End of article. Coffee with a cop, a positive interaction. Bloomington. Police handed out stickers, fist bumps, coffee, and donuts at the Bloomington Farmers Market on Saturday morning, along with the message that they are there to help. Public outreach, such as Saturday's Coffee with a Cop, is important, so people get to know police in a different way with a positive interaction, said Elias Mendiola, the Bloomington Police Department's public affairs officer. Mendiola said such public interaction is important now more than ever. That's not only because of national news involving police controversies, but also recent violence in the Twin Cities, which left 7 people dead since last April. Quote, we are as upset as well, Mendiola said of those shootings. We are going to get those that are responsible. We are on the side of the victims. The recent shootings have sparked several grassroots efforts to bring the community together. Among them was a Taking Back the Block party at a Sunnyside Park in Bloomington Saturday afternoon, organized by Jessica Kaup of Bloomington. She said the wounding of a 4-year-old boy in the most recent shooting was the last straw for her. In addition to Youth Build McLean County, Eastview Christian Church, and other organizations which helped out, Kaup said, random people have stopped by to drop things off, from extra ice to craft activities to a kiddie pool. He also said it was exactly what the community needs, more people to be there for the children. Several candidates for office attended the block party, including Shana Wachinski of Bloomington, a candidate for McLean County Board. She said people are looking for ways to help in the aftermath of the shootings in the block party, which provided that opportunity, and said that Jessica was a good example for people who think one person can't make a difference. Other scheduled activities in Bloomington included a community meeting at Grace Deliverance Church, a prayer walk from Grace Church of the Nazarene to the 300 block of Riley Drive, where 3 men were killed last Monday and a boy wounded. Although Coffee with a Cop was already planned before the latest shooting, Mendiola said it was a good event to meet with people. Members of the Normal Police and McLean County Sheriff's Department also attended. Quote, we get a lot of great interaction at all age levels, which is awesome, Mendiola said of the farmers market. Police also offer public outreach at schools and locations such as the Boys and Girls Club. Mendiola said such public forums are important not only for police to share their perspective, but also to hear perspectives and experiences of others. Among those who stopped by the booth was Yasmin Hamilton, a 17-year-old from Bloomington who is interested in a law enforcement career. Hamilton, formerly a lieutenant in the Bloomington Police Explorer Post, said Twin City Police are very community-minded. Jennifer Milligan of Bloomington stopped by so her 6-year-old daughter could check out the police car on display. We are extremely appreciative of all you do, Milligan told Normal Police Officer Brian Williams, who is handing out stickers and explaining how his body camera works. Events like this are wonderful for the kids. End of article. At this time, we will take a short break.